Copyright 2011, JKP, Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved.
Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj.
In this series, he incorporates all the main topics of the Hindu scriptures in a beautiful logical flow. The most prominent spiritual confusions of our time are addressed and resolved one by one as the series makes its way towards the culminating topic of bhakti and the path of God realization.
So far, explaining the mantra, Tameva Vidittvati Mrityumeti Nanya Pantha Vidyate Anaya, I've explained to you that every soul is Ansh of Bhagwan. Thus, we all desire God naturally. And since God Himself is Anand, thus every soul naturally desires Anand. And that is the reason, the motivating factor behind every single karma that we perform, behind every single thought that we have. And since we are always thinking something, so it means that every moment of every day, since eternity, because we are also eternal as God is, so in uncountable lifetimes, from eternity until now, for every moment, we have been in search of one thing and one thing only, and that is perfect happiness. And that perfect happiness is only attainable by attaining God, because He is happiness. God and Anand are one and the same thing. And that Anand is unlimited in amount, and if you get it, it lasts forever. Thus, we know that we have never experienced such a happiness in this world. So, it proves that even though we've been trying for uncountable lifetimes and every second of every life, we've yet to taste even a drop of that true happiness. Because we've always looked for it in this world instead of from God. Then I also explained to you that although from this point of view, every soul is an Astik. It means everybody believes in God. Nobody doesn't believe in God. Even someone who says from his mouth, I don't believe in God, he loves God from his heart, because what is he desiring? Happiness. And that means he's desiring God. So his mind might be confused, but his heart, his soul, still wants God, loves God. So from this point of view, everyone is Astik. But from another point of view, we're all Gnostic, because Ved says if you really had faith in God, He would be standing right in front of you. The moment you have full faith in Bhagwan, He comes to you, and that is the moment of God realization, and that very moment you get unlimited divine bliss. So that proves that we do not have full faith in God. So to get faith, I told you, we have to know God. If you know something, if you know the value of something, love follows automatically. Faith and love follow instantly if you know the value of something or someone. So it brings us back to tameva vidittvati mrityumeti nanya pantha vidyate yanaya. This verse that I'm explaining, this mantra of the Ved that I'm explaining, says you must know God. It's the only way to cross Maya is by knowing God. And also the only way to attain perfect happiness. So our main goal can only be attained by knowing God. So we went into the Vedas, since they are the most reliable and the original proof about spiritual matters. And the Vedas told us that you cannot know God. And the reason they gave is that God is beyond your senses, your man, and your buddhi. It means your mind and senses are at one level and God is completely beyond. Now, why is God beyond? We learned several reasons from the same scriptures. Number one, God is divine. And our senses, mind, intellect, everything is prakrit, mayik, material. So with material senses and mind, you cannot perceive or know or experience divine God. Reason number two, I told you, was He is our prerak and we are prerya. Reason number three, He is our prakashak and we are prakashya. Reason number four, He is our dharak, and we are dharyaman. Reason number five, He is the knower of His own self. So who can know God? God can know God. So anyone who knows God is God. That's what it means. So if we could know God from our intellect, it would mean our intellect is God, and God would be subservient to our intellect. And we know that's not the case. And the final reason I gave you is that God is unlimited. He's all-knowing. He has unlimited powers. Everything about Him is unlimited. And we are ignorant. Our mind is very little knowing. It's very limited. So how could unlimited God fit into our limited mind? How could we know unlimited God with our limited mind? And I also told you part of the reason that we cannot understand God with our mind is that God's existence does not obey the laws of this physical existence that we know, where things are either this or that. They are not this and that at the same time. I gave the example of a light is either on or off. I am either here or there. But God does not follow these rules. He is viruddha dharmashray. He is the abode of many simultaneous contradictions. And I gave you a few examples, like he is one, yet he exists eternally in uncountable forms, and all of those forms are omnipresent. He has a divine body, yet with that body he's still omnipresent. In addition to this, he is also formless. So simultaneously, while having uncountable forms and being omnipresent in all of those forms, he is also formless. Vedas also told us that he is greater, larger than the largest, yet simultaneously smaller than the smallest. They told us that he has no senses, yet he perceives everything. He has no feet, but he walks. He has no hands, yet he grasps. He has no eyes, yet he sees. So this, how can we understand such things with our material intellect? So we come to this position now where we have a contradiction. On one hand, Vedas are telling us we must know God, and on the other hand, they're telling us we cannot know God. Someone might think, well, maybe you just need a greater intellect to know God. Just like if you're in first grade, you can't understand high school material. You need that level of intellect of a high schooler to understand high school material. And as a high school student, you can't understand master's material, MA material. You would have to be at that level. So there must be some level of intellect which could know God. Vedavyas says no. Brahma says no. Naham na yuyam yadritangatim vidur navam deva kimuta pare sura tanmayaya mohita buddhayastvidam vinirmitam chatma samam prachakshmahe. In the Bhagavatam, Brahma says, I cannot know Bhagwan. I cannot know Krishna. Who's saying Brahma, who has a divine intellect and such an intellect with which he was able to create this whole Brahmand out of empty space, out of just Akash. Such is the divine intellect of Brahma. And he's saying, I can't know him. So if Brahma can't know him, if Saraswati, Brihaspati, the god and goddess of intellect, of knowledge, of this Brahmand can't know him, if Indra can't know him, then how could ordinary souls like us know him with our intellect? Even if he comes on this earth planet, meaning he takes avatar, even then we can't know him. Even if we meet him face to face, imagine, many of you might think that, yes, God right now, he's omnipresent, but I can't see him. He's beyond my intellect. But if I would have seen him when he was walking this earth, during his descension on this earth planet, then I could have known him, surely. Krishna says, nope. Avajananti mam murha manushim tanuma shritam gita. He says, even then, if a soul sees me, how does he see me? He doesn't see me. He thinks he's seeing an ordinary human being. Why? Tribhir gunamayair bhavai rebhi sarvamidan jagat mohitam nabhi janati mamebhya paramavyayam Gita. Krishna says, your senses and mind are all trigunatmak mayik. They're made of sattva-raj-tam. They're made of the material energy. And my body, even when I'm appearing on the earth planet, is divine. So you can't see me even if I'm standing in front of you. When you see me, you think you're seeing an ordinary human being, an ordinary individual. Ramayana says, Chidanandamaya deha tumhari bigat bikar jana adhikari. Only an adhikari, only one who is qualified, can see God. So, who can know God? You might say, no one can know God. But a more complete or correct answer would be, who can know God? God can know God. Who can see God? God can see God. Who can hear God's words? God can hear God's words. Who could smell the divine fragrance of God? God could smell that. Who could touch God? God can touch God. So we're back to the same place we started. We need to know God. Vedas are saying you must know God. But on the other hand, it seems impossible to know God. Yet, there are mantras in the Vedas that say, Vedahametam purukham mahant maditya varnam tamasah parastat. This saint is saying, I have seen God. Aham Veda. I have known God. And many have known Him. In fact, from eternity until now, in uncountable brahmandas, uncountable souls have known God, and uncountable more will know God. So, it is possible to know God, and of course it must be, otherwise Ved would not say tameva viditvati. You must know God. So, how can we know God? Let's again go back into the Vedas. There must be a way. How can we know? Nāyamātmā pravacanena labhyo namedhaya nabahuna shrutena yamevaisha vrinute tena labhyastasyaisha atma vivrinute tanugvam swam. You cannot know God by hearing a pravachan about Him. You can listen to hundreds and thousands of pravachan, and you still won't know God just by hearing the words. Namedhaya, no matter how great your intellect is, you cannot know Him through your intellect. Nabahuna shrutena, read or study or do part of Vedas, Shastras, all the scriptures. You cannot know Him in that way. Okay, we already know that we can't know Him. How can we know Him? Ved, tell us that. Yame vaisha vrinute tena labhyastasyaisha atma vivrinute tanugvam swam. The same mantra, second half, says, if He graces you, then you can know Him. Kripa. Kripa is God's power, one of His powers. Jab Bhagwan kripa karte, then we can know Him. Deva prasadacha. Through His prasad, He can be known. Prasad means kripa, grace. So God can be known only one way, through His kripa. Look in Gita to understand this. After hearing the whole Gita, then Krishna asks Arjuna, do you understand now? Have you received knowledge? Do you know? Arjun said, Nashto moha smritir labdha tvat prasadan mayachyuta. He said, yes, Krishna, my misunderstanding is gone and I've received knowledge from you. How? Some of you might think, oh, through the 18 chapter lecture that Krishna gave Arjuna. That must be how he got the knowledge. That must be how Arjuna knew Krishna. He heard that whole speech Krishna gave him. He said, no, tvat prasadat. Through your prasad, through your grace, I was able to know you. No other way. So this is something we should keep in mind as well. Many of us do part of Gita. Many of you may recite parts of Gita or even the whole Gita every day. But is that what Arjuna did? Krishna told him the whole Gita. Then did Krishna tell Arjuna, now repeat what I said. Keep repeating it. Do part of everything I said. No, that's not what... He said, do what I said. What I told you to do, do that. And that's what Arjuna did. Like the final verse of Krishna's teaching, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Leaving all the attachments, leaving all the other practices and formalities, just come to me, just surrender to me. Krishna's final agya to Arjuna. So when we do part of Gita, what are we saying? Mamekam Sharanam Braja. We're saying, come and surrender to me. Those are Krishna's words. We need to surrender to Krishna. Who are we telling to come and surrender to us? So only through His grace, not by hearing Gita, not by reading Gita. So we have to practice what's in Gita in order to receive His grace. Then we can know Him. Come to Veda Vyasji. He says, he wrote all 18 Puranas. And in the Bhagavatam he says, Athapi te deva padambujadvaya prasadleshanugrihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno na chanya eko pichiram vichinvan. He said, if you become prasad anugrahit, means you receive Bhagwan's kripa, only then you can know Him. And in the Ramayana, the same thing. Soi janai jehi dehu janai janat tumahi hoi jai. O Ram, you can only be known if you make yourself known to someone. And how do you make yourself known? Ram kripa binu sunu khagrai jani na jai Ram prabhutai jane binu na hoi partiti binu partiti hoi nahi priti. Again, the word kripa comes. You can only be known, Ram, through your kripa. And once someone knows you, then they will have faith in you, then they will love you, and then they will attain you. So we have to know Him, and He is only knowable through His kripa. Now someone might think, really? Only one way? There's no other way to know Him? There's no other way around it? Where how we could know Him without getting His kripa? Someone comes and says, oh yes, there's one way. You see, this Maya has you. So just get free from Maya and you'll automatically reach God. You'll automatically know God and join with God. Maya is the only thing between you and God. So if you can get free from Maya, you will reach Him. Some people say like this, that actually Maya, it's not even anything. It's mithya. It doesn't even exist. It's a figment of your imagination. It's a bhram. It's a confusion of your mind, or it's an illusion. So this, all this we see, it doesn't really exist. It's just an illusion, a kalpana, or a thought, an imagination of our own mind. Advaitis say like this, that there's only God. You are God. And that God is one, and there's no such thing as Maya or Jagat. Ye sab kuch nahi hota hai. It's just illusion. So what does Ved say about that? Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinan tu maheshwaram. Maya is a power of God. It's a real power. It is not an illusion or a figment of your imagination. It's a real thing. Everything you see here is real, because it's produced by God's power. God is real, His power is real, so this world which is produced through that is also Sat. It's real. It's not fake, it's not imagination. Shaktitvan nanritam vedyam. Shandilya Maharshi says the same thing. Maya is Bhagwan's Shakti. Esha Maya Bhagavat Sargasthityantakarini. Bhagavatam, Vedavyas says, Maya is a power of God. And Ramayan says the same thing. So dasi raghubir ki samujhe mithya sopi chute naram kripa binu nath kahu padropi. I can say with utmost confidence, challenge ke saath, that no one can cross Maya without the grace of Shri Ram. Kagbhushundi is saying, Chute naram kripa binu. So, Maya cannot be crossed without God's grace. Krishna says the same thing in the Gita. Daivi hyesha gunamai mam maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. He says, mam maya. Devi, this Maya is my Shakti, my power, and Duratyaya, impossible to cross unless someone receives my grace. With my grace, they can easily, instantly cross over Maya. In fact, Tulsidasji says, okay, let's say we accept what those Advaitis are saying, that all of this is just Kalpana. It's not, but let's say it was. Let's say this whole existence, material existence, was just an imagination or a confusion of your mind. He says, even then, Rajat Sip Mahabhas Jimi Yatha Bhanu Karvari Jadapi Mrishati Hunkalamaha Brahmana Sakai Kotari. Even if someone thinks that this is all just illusion, just like this kind of illusion, like at night there's an oyster shell on the beach and you see from a distance something shiny. So you think, oh, it's some silver, it's something valuable. And then when you come close, oh, it's just an oyster shell. It's an illusion. Or during a hot day in the desert, the sunlight, which gets bent because of the heat waves coming off the sand, that creates the illusion of water. So in the same way, if you think that this world is some kind of illusion like that, even then, just thinking that it's an illusion will not make it go away. Jasu kripa as bhram miti jai girija soi kripalu raghurai. Even then, to get rid of that illusion, what do you need? Ram's kripa. No matter how we try to get around it, we keep coming back to the same thing, Ram kripa. We need God's grace to know Him and to get past Maya. Someone else comes along and says, oh, I know another way around God's grace, and quotes a verse from Ved. Pariksha lokan karmachitan brahmano nirveda mayan nastya krita kritena tad vijnanartham sagurumeva bhigachet samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtham. You want to know God? Go to someone who's already known Him. A Shrotriya Brahmanisht Mahapurush. Someone who not only has a full knowledge of the scriptures, but has actually practically experienced God, seen God, touched God, talked to God. Such a Mahapurush, such a saint, if you go and surrender to such a saint, you can know God through that saint. Gita says the same thing. तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानं ज्ञानिनस्तत्वदर्शिनः. If you want to know him, go to a ज्ञानिनः तत्वदर्शिनः saint, महापुरुष. In other words, श्रोत्रिय ब्रह्मनिष्ठ, someone who has full knowledge, theoretical knowledge of the scriptures, as well as the actual experiential knowledge by having attained God. Go to such a God-realized saint, serve him, surrender to him, ask him questions to understand the philosophy and clear your confusions, and he will give you the knowledge of God. Bhagavatam says the same thing. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahmanyu pashamashrayam shabde pare. Again, shabdagyan and paragyan. Theoretical knowledge as well as experiential knowledge. Go to such a God-realized saint, if you wish to know God. And Ramayana says the same thing.
Guru binu bhavanidhi tarai na koi jo biranchi shankar samahoi.
Even if someone is as intelligent as Brahma or as renounced as Lord Shankar, even then, they cannot cross this maya, they cannot know God without the help of a guru. But, do you know what else?
Binu satasanga vivekana hoi, Rama kripa binu sulabhana soi.
Again, Ram kripa. You cannot get the grace, you cannot get the association, you cannot even meet a saint without Ram's kripa.
Ab mohi bha bharosa hanumanta binu hari kripa milahi nahi santa santa vishuddha milahi punitehi Ram kripa kari chitavahi jehi jabadravahi dina dayal raghav sadhu sangati paaye.
So we cannot even meet a saint. Yes, we do need a God-realized saint in order to help us, to give us the knowledge of God, so that we can know God through that saint. Yet we cannot meet that saint without God's grace. So we're right back to the same place we started. Because the saint is also divine, just like God. So if you can't recognize Ram or Krishna, if you meet them face to face, you think they're a material being, same thing goes for a saint. We don't have the right eyes to perceive just by looking who is divine and who isn't, who is God-realized and who isn't. And we'll be fooled if we try to judge that by their behavior as well. We can't even understand the behavior of our own spouse or children or mother or father half of the time. Why did they do that? We can't even understand our own behavior some of the time. We can't even control our own mind. We don't understand our own self. How are we going to understand a God-realized saint? That's like a five-year-old trying to judge the knowledge or judge the status of a college professor or university professor or scientific researcher, someone whose knowledge is that high, and we're all the way down here. So without God's grace, no one can meet a saint, recognize a saint. It's not possible. So there's no way around it. We need God's grace in order to know him. Once we know him, we'll have faith in him, then we'll love him, then we'll attain him. So, this brings up a very interesting question, that if it all depends on God's grace, then what do we have to do? Humko chutti mili. Okay, God, I'm waiting for your grace. Whenever you grace me is up to you. Until then, see, we all say we like to put the responsibility on God. This is something we all do without even thinking. See, we say things like, let's say we make a mistake or do something wrong. We have like a little get out of jail free card we keep in our back pocket. We say something like, "Wahi hota hai jo manzure khuda hota hai." Nothing can happen without the will of God. So even though I messed up, this was really bad, but oh, it must have been God's will. So indirectly, we blame it on God. Everybody, a less educated person may quote something like, "Hoi hai soi jo Ram rachi rakha, ko kari tark badhavat sakha." Oh, don't worry, don't even bother trying to change anything. Whatever is happening is all the will of Ram. And a higher educated person may quote a Sanskrit verse saying, "Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati." In other words, he's the one inspiring us. He is our prerak. So it means, what am I responsible for? Whatever I am doing, vahi karare. He's responsible, he is doing, he is the performer of all my actions, whatever I may be doing. When not even a single leaf on a tree can move without the will of God, then God must be performing all of my actions also. Everything I'm doing must be happening with the will of God, good or bad, right or wrong, ignorant, anything, whatever it may be, it's all happening with the will of God. This is what we think. Sometimes we say, sometimes we just think it in the back of our mind. But is it correct? Is God really doing, performing all of our actions? So think of it this way. If God were performing all of our actions, since God is all-knowing, how could we ever do anything ignorant? This is the first logic which cuts this argument that God is the one performing our actions. Yah sarvagyah sarvavidyasya jnanamayantapah. God is all-knowing according to the Vedas, so if He is performing our actions, then how could we ever do anything wrong? How could we ever do anything out of ignorance? Everything we would do would be perfect. Just like if someone's driving a car and they're intoxicated, then they're not going to do a good job driving. They'll be swerving all over. But if someone is sober and they're driving, then the car is going to go just fine. In the same way, if we're in control of our actions, then of course there's going to be a lot of problems along the way, as we see there are. And if God is in control of our actions, then why would there be any problem? Come to logic number two. If God is the one performing all of our actions, then look at the injustice. He has some of us performing good actions, some of us performing bad actions, some of us performing whatever actions need to be performed in order to attain God and go to His divine world and attain unlimited bliss. Ye anyaya. This is completely unjust. If God is the one performing our actions, He says in Gita, "Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti napriya." I am samadarshi. I look on everyone the same. No one is my friend, no one is my enemy. So if I'm not your enemy, then why are you having me perform all these bad actions and then suffering the consequences? And if that person is not your friend, why did you have him perform whatever was required in order to become God-realized and stay with you forever? That doesn't seem right to me. So this is logic number two to cut through this misunderstanding that God is the one performing our actions. If He were the one performing our actions, He would do it equally. we would all be performing bad actions, or all be performing good actions, or we'd all get God realized, but it would be, there would be equality. Come to logic number three. If God is the one performing our actions, then why are we the ones suffering the consequences? He should suffer the consequences, or if he would like, he can forgive himself. But why, if he's the one performing the actions, why should we undergo the consequences? Kai Dinesh Ulti Kare Ramesh. It doesn't make sense. So, that's logic number three. Logic number four, if he's the one performing all of our actions, why go to so much trouble to put all the vidhi and nished in the Vedas? Now human beings, do not do this, do not do this, do not do this, do this, do this, do this. That's nished and vidhi. Why would he bother 100,000 mantras of the Vedas? Go to so much trouble. He could have just written one mantra. I'm the one performing all your actions, so relax. Don't worry or think about anything. Whatever I want you to do, I'll have you do. That would have been enough. Why send saints on the earth planet to teach us about what we're supposed to be doing? He could have just said, whatever I want you to do, I'll have you do. And finally, if he's the one performing our actions, then why did he create Narak and Swarg as a deterrent and an incentive, a deterrent from performing bad actions? Narak. If you're bad, you'll go to Narak. That's a deterrent. If you're good, you'll get to go to Swarg, an incentive to be good, like telling a boy, here, see this chocolate? If you go to school and you're a good boy, you can have this when you get home. That's what Swarg is. Don't be bad, be good. So, what's the need for all of this if he is the one performing our actions? So, obviously, he's not. God is not performing our actions. We are the ones in control of all of our actions. Then why do the scriptures say things like the verses I quoted for you yesterday? Yan manasa na manute yena hurmano matam tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate ityadi. Which says God is the one who is our prerak. Our senses and mind work with the power he's giving to us. Gita says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddesherjunatishthati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. Gita says that God is sitting in our heart and he's the one who's making us perform actions. Ura prerak raghuvansh vibhushana. Ram is sitting in our heart giving prerana. What does this mean if he's not actually performing our actions? It means that he's a helper, but he's not the one controlling what we do. So he gives us the power. See, this mind, this antahkaran, these senses, this body is all jada, lifeless. It cannot do anything on its own. Only because the soul is here, our mind and senses and body have life. And he's the one giving life to our soul. So in other words, it is God who gives the power to our mind to think. It is God who gives the power to our eyes to see. It is God who gives the power to our hands to grab and do things. He gives us the power to perform karma. But we are the ones who perform the karma. That's the difference. So indirectly, is he responsible? Yes. But directly, we're responsible. Just like if you qualify and you get a license to own a gun. The government gave you that gun. Gave you a proper license and a gun, and that's for protecting yourself. You can use it for self-defense if need be. So if by mistake you shoot yourself in the foot with it, or you go out and kill another person on purpose with that gun, is the government held responsible for what you did with it? No. you are held responsible. Like a river is full of water. The water is there. Anyone can come to the river. So you come to the river, you take some water, and you quench your thirst. Or you use it to cook with or clean with. Someone else uses the same water to drown themselves or another person in. The water is the same. Is it the water's fault how we use it? No, it's not. So in the same way, God gives life to all the souls. He gives the power to their mind and senses to perform all the karma. But what do we think? What do? That's purely up to us. God takes note and gives us the consequences. He doesn't interfere with what we do. He gives us guidelines. That's what the Vedas are for. That's why he sends saints on the earth planet, to give us guidelines. This is what you should do. If you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. If you do this, on the other hand, this will happen to you. All of that is explained, but then he doesn't interfere and take control. We have control of what we do or don't do. So, now we're at the point where we understand that we need God's grace in order to know him. And although we're waiting for his grace, we're dependent on his grace, we must have to do something. Otherwise, what is the need of all of this? Now, although we now have the knowledge, we know we should not blame God for our actions. But it's human nature to look for somewhere other than our own selves to lay the blame. So if we can't say God made me do it, sometimes we find another nice outlet, our bhagya, our destiny. We try to say, or we try to think that, oh, it's all destined. So what can I do? I stole that thing, I hit that person, I made that mistake, but who can stop destiny? If it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. What can I do? Mujhse ho gaya hai. So this is another confusion we have to remove before we move forward to understand how to receive God's grace. Because if we have these confusions that God is controlling our actions, or bhagya, destiny, is controlling our actions, if we have this kind of confusion, we can never receive God's grace. In fact, Kripaluji Maharaj, my Guruji, went to this point of saying that this confusion that God is the performer of our actions, everything we're doing is happening with the will of God, this is the single worst philosophy in the world. The single worst confusion a person can have, that if he follows this philosophy, he'll destroy himself, because he just justifies every single thing and doesn't try to improve himself. So we do the same thing with this idea of destiny. Some people think everything is destined. Harinapi harenapi brahmanapi surairapi lalat likhita rekha parimarshtum na shakyate. This is a Sanskrit verse that means even the three governors of this Brahman, Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, even they cannot escape their destiny. They are also bound by destiny. So then what can we do? Avashyameva bhoktavyam kritam karma shubha shubham Mahabharat. Everyone must undergo their destiny. There's no escape. Bhuktam chiyate karma kalpa koti shatairapi. Even a paramahansa, a jivan mukta, liberated jnani saint who's still in this world, even he cannot escape his destiny. He must undergo his prarabdha, his bhagya. So what is this bhagya, first of all? Let's understand that. What is it? Where does it come from? There are two words, purushart and bhagya. Bhagya means what's happening to you. Hani labh jivan maran yash apyash vidhihat. The things that are out of your control that happen to you, That is your destiny, your bhagya. And purusharth means what you do, the karma you do out of your own free will. So there's like an eternal debate amongst different people. Some people say, no, we have free will. And other people say, no, everything is destined. So some people argue on the side of purusharth, that we have free will to perform the actions and accordingly get the results. And other people say, no, no, it's all predetermined. You can't do or change anything. Whatever is going to happen to you is already predestined. In fact, both these things are two sides of the same coin. It's the same thing. Purusharth and bhagya are the same thing. The purusharth we performed in our last life becomes our bhagya in this life. Very simple. The free will actions we performed in our last life, that's purusharth. And it becomes bhagya in this life. Now it fructifies. We get the fruit of the bad actions. We get the fruit of the good actions, both in this life. So it's like this. Let's say there's an unmarried girl. Her name is Miss Urmila Sharma. Then she got married. So she became Mrs. Urmila Seth or Mrs. Urmila Joshi. So let's say she writes an old friend a letter and she signs the letter Urmila Joshi. She gets the letter and she sees, who? Urmila Joshi? I don't know any Joshi. Oh, it must be that Urmila that I knew. What was her name? Oh yeah, Urmila Sharma. Yes, she must have gotten married. She must have gotten married to, her husband must be named Joshi. That's why. So she's the same girl, just her name changed. In the same way, in your last life, your free will actions were called purusharth, and those same free will actions fructify as your bhagya in this life. So you earned it. It's not like a child who inherits his parents' wealth and possessions. It's your own earnings from your past life that you're getting in this life. Or like, let's say you change school districts. You graduated from 8th grade in this school district, and then you move to a different town. You move to Washington, D.C., or you move to Virginia, and you go for enrollment in 9th grade there in a high school in Virginia. So the school doesn't tell you, oh no, no, you have to start in kindergarten again. You come with your transcripts that shows that you've graduated from 8th grade, so they give you admittance, they give you admission into 9th grade in their school. It's carried over. So whatever you've earned, that stays with you. Whatever you did in your past life, that fructifies in this life. So that is our bhagya. So you can ask such a person who says, oh no, 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 everything is destined, you have no free will. Whatever happens is happening through you. It's just the destiny playing out through you. You're not doing anything. Nobody has free will. So ask that person, where did your bhagya come from then? Did it just drop out of the sky? If you don't have free will in this life, did you have it in your last life? No, it means if you don't have free will in this life, you didn't have free will in your last life, so then where did your destiny come from? How was it created? How was it made? And if you say, oh, I have free will in this life, then you must have had free will in your last life, and the life before that, and the life before that, and the life before that. So if you had free will in those lives, you must have had free will at some point in order to perform those actions which fructify as your destiny now. Otherwise, where could the destiny come from? So if you had free will in those past lives, you must have free will as well in this life. Sum up the whole thing like this. Understand it a little more technically, that there are three types of karma. There's your sanchit karma, There's your prarabdha karma and there's your kriyaman karma. Kriyaman karma means your free will actions you're performing every moment with every thought you have in this life. That's kriyaman karma. Your prarabdha karma is your destiny for this life, taken out of your past life's actions, uncountable past lifetimes we've lived. So out of all those uncountable past lives, some of that is fructifying as our destiny in this life. And you also have sanchit karma. Sanchit karma is because every life, the amount of karma that you perform, it doesn't all fructify in your next life. Some of it does. So what happens to the rest? It's added to a stock, a huge, unlimited past stock of karma. That's your sanchit karma. So you have sanchit karma, you're presently performing kriyaman karma, but also some of that sanchit karma is taken and it's given to you as your prarabdha in this life. So you have to undergo some things that happen to you that are out of your control, like accidents and some illnesses that happen to us. Not all, some happen because we had a bad living style in this life, but some could have been destined. Winning the lottery, having something stolen from you, these kind of things are part of our destiny. But the thing is, even if some things are destined, we still have free will. Our thoughts are not destined, ever. Our words are never destined. Our actions, our karma, is never destined. And some of the things that happen to us are destined. So how do you know what's destined and what isn't? How do you know what you can control and change and what you can't? Because if it is destined, then you definitely can't. But we don't know. So we just have to live our life as if everything, meaning we have to try to live our life the best possible. Daiva daiva alasi pukara. We shouldn't be lazy saying, oh, it must be destined. Just let it happen, whatever's happening. No, we should try to make everything right. Of course, understanding that there's no guarantee of success, but from our side, our effort, our cheshta, should always be 100% to do the right thing and try to make everything peaceful and harmonious. If it doesn't work out, okay, then we can say, well, maybe it was destined, but at least I tried. The point is, we always have to try because we don't know what is destined and what isn't. And the other thing is knowing your destiny. If you go, some people go to a Jyotishi. That Jyotishi, if he's really good, he may be able to tell you something that's coming in your destiny. But then so what? You can't change it. If it actually is in your destiny, it can't be changed. Avashyameva bhoktavyam. You must undergo it if it's in your destiny. So let's say he tells you that, when your son grows a little older, when he graduates, when he gets his PhD and he's coming home and you're getting ready to celebrate, he's going to have an accident and die. So he's only 15 years old right now, you know, that's at least 10 years away, but you start worrying from now. Even if it is going to happen, you can't change it. And what if it's not going to happen? You spend the next 10 years worrying, you might kill yourself from worrying. So knowing our destiny is of no use, worrying about our destiny is of no use, we should just behave as if everything is in our hands. If it doesn't work out, okay. But as far as what we're doing every moment, we should never blame things on destiny. The blame should always come back here. I should have done better. I should have tried harder. I didn't understand correctly. Next time I'll do better. Instead of saying, oh, it must have been the will of God. Or, oh, it was just in my destiny. What can I do? We can never improve ourselves if that's our attitude. Karmanan sanchitadhinam jivodhinastathapi svatantra kriyamane vai krito bhagavata vida. A saint says, as a human being, although you do have to undergo whatever is destined for you, yet in performing karma, you are swatantra. You are fully independent to perform karma. What you think, what you say, what you do. You have full independence. I already told you this human life is karma yoni. It's the only out of 8.4 million species where we can actually perform karma of our own free will and get the results of it. Other beings are only undergoing their destiny. Animals, plants, whatever happens to them is all in their destiny. They can't do anything to change that. But we, what can't we do? Aham bhakta paradhina. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, I become subservient to my bhakta. It means you can even enslave God. You have that much power as a human being. If you understand and you learn how to do devotion and attain God, God Himself gives Himself to you. You have that much power as a human being. So we are swatantra in terms of doing the karma, but we're paratantra in terms of undergoing the consequences of that karma. So both are in play. Therefore, Tulsidas ji says, Nartanu Bhavvaridhi kahu bero sanmukh marut anugrah mero karan dhar sadguru dridhnava durlabh saj sulabh karipava. He says, you receive this human birth through great good fortune, through my grace, Ram says. And also, if you happen to have met a true saint and you have the grace of a true guru, that is also my grace. And having received all of this, if you do not use that, if you do not take control of your life and use this life to find God, then Jo natarai bhavasagar nar samaj aspai so kritanindak mandamati atmahanagati jai. That person is like the killer of his own soul. He got everything he needed to attain the one thing his soul wants, and he threw it all away. So paratra dukha pavai sir dhuni dhuni pachitaya kalahi karmahi ishwarahi mithya dosha lagaya. We throw our life away, wasting it, say, putting the blame on Ishwar, saying, oh, it must be the will of God. Or we put the blame on Bhagya. We say, oh, it must have been in my destiny. Or we put the blame on Kal, one more place. Which is just a way of saying destiny. That, oh, it's not my time. When the right time comes, everything will happen. So we should stop putting the blame in these places and take responsibility for our own spiritual progress. But that still leaves us with this one more question. How do we receive God's grace? Everything is dependent on His grace, yet if we just sit idly and say, okay, God, why haven't you graced me yet? You graced so many other saints, Tulsidas, Meera, Kabir, Tukaram, Nanak. We were also their brothers and sisters. We were there at that time. They were our equals. But somehow they received your grace and we didn't. So it must mean there's some condition for receiving God's grace. Whatever that condition is, they knew about it. They fulfilled that condition and they got God's grace. And they knew God. They attained God. And whatever that condition is, we haven't fulfilled it. Thus, we've still remained bereft of God's grace. So tomorrow I'll answer two questions. Number one, what is that condition which must be fulfilled to receive God's grace? And number two, if there's a condition required to receive God's grace, then it means God is not Akaran Karun. That is a moniker or a name of God, that He is causelessly gracious. So if He is causelessly gracious, why is He not gracing us already? And if the reason He's not gracing us is that there's some condition that we need to fulfill to receive His grace, then it means He's not causelessly gracious. There's some reason for His grace, like He's a businessman. You give me this, then I'll give you that. So we'll resolve all of this tomorrow. And today we'll finish by doing a kirtan. So there's a place in this kirtan where you'll all have to say Radhe, like that, when I come down from the high part. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Mohi aisi virah vedana de, rain din gaun Govind Radhe. Mohi aisi virah vedana de, rain din gaun Govind Radhe. Mukti abhog Vaikunth nade, Shyam Sundar Somukunila de. Mukti abhog Vaikunth nade, Shyam Sundar Somukunila de. दासी बना दे, कोई सेवा मुझे भी दिला दे. मोहि दासी
की दासी बना दे, कोई सेवा मुझे भी दिला दे। अपनी सेवा जो ना दे तो ना दे, अपने जन की ही सेवा दिला दे। अपनी सेवा जो ना दे तो ना दे, अपने जन की ही सेवा दिला दे। अपने जन की भी सेवा जो ना दे, सेवा की वासना ही बढ़ा दे। अपने जन की भी सेवा जो ना दे, सेवा की वासना ही बढ़ा दे। वासना मेरे सुख की मिटा दे, लालसा तेरे सुख की बढ़ा दे। वासना मेरे सुख की मिटा दे, लालसा तेरे सुख की बढ़ा दे। समर्था की गोपी बना दे, रास में नाम मेरा लिखा दे। रति समर्था की गोपी, रति समर्था की गोपी बना दे, रास में नाम मेरा लिखा दे। समर्था की गोपी, तू अकारण कृपालु कृपा दे, पात्र भी तो कृपा का बना दे। तू अकारण कृपालु कृपा दे, पात्र भी तू कृपा का बना दे। ओ पात्र भी तू कृपा का बना दे। राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे, ओ राधे गोविंद राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे, राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे।
लाडली लाल की जय।